In the studio with me this morning is Ron Scholl and Susan Farron there with, in fact, the originators of First Responder Resiliency. Oh, and we're talking about that what is a fairly new nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And but you have big dreams and you've made big moves already. Can you tell us about some of the ways in which your thinking and your ideas have already taken shape?
Well, from the time that I first came up with this plan to create a multi-systems plan to help first responders deal with the stress and the trauma that they're exposed to, and their families as well. We should really put a shout out there.
That's fantastic.
We're helping the families. Yeah. So this began with me going to some of the smaller local departments and sharing. Some of them knew me from working as a paramedic in the community and as a clinical manager, and sharing with them my vision and talking to them about the research that I had done and what I had discovered about who we were, where we came from, and what was happening to us. Not just, and this is the important thing, Pat, it's not just psychological. It's neurological, actual changes that take place to their brains. It's physical, storing the energy of all that trauma, getting trapped in their bodies and into their organs. It's emotional and it's relational, which is what we talked about earlier with the divorces.
That pretty much covers it.
Yep. That covers the whole human system.
Yeah.
So this program, initially,
it's
when we
effective.
Went out to the departments, the people began to listen. They knew, especially the line folks. The folks that were on the line said, oh my gosh, that's true. That's happening to me. And I said, well, let's talk about what we can do to change that. And all of a sudden, it began to pick up speed, not just with the first responders, but civilians who heard what we were doing, family members who heard what we were doing. And then we were building momentum. And now, I mean, Ron and I think we talked about yesterday, we're probably going out 12 or 15 times a week. We have meetings talking to people about what we're doing mm-hmm. and getting support. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's certainly building up, but it's a big change. And in this industry, we're slow to change. This is, you know, things come in and people get excited and it's a new widget or a new tool that we're going to use. And people are hesitant and resistant because we don't really like change. But this program for us, for everyone, and we said this yesterday in the car driving up to Cal Fire, there's not a single person we've spoken to has said, oh, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How could they, really? How could they?
Yeah, once you really know what we're trying to do, you realize.
And I want to, and we'll give you some contact information at the end of the show, but I wanted to just say to our listeners, many of whom are business people and many of whom are very philanthropic. I know this because they've contacted us mm-hmm. when they've heard something on the air and said, what can I do? Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of support that First Responders Resiliency is looking for at this point. And you're doing the work, which is all that anybody can ask of you at this point. And you know that results. Let's see it in writing.
Right.
Let's see how it works.
Right.
Let's see how all that kind of stuff. You're already doing that work.
Yeah, we're collecting data every time we do a training, whether it's a conference or an in-house training. We've got a dispatcher training for Sonoma County Sheriffs coming up. We've got an in-house training at Hillsburg Fire coming up that's also going to have a family component. All our trainings have a family component where we bring in the family separately and then bring the first responders together at the end.
I'm absolutely thrilled about that part because one of the stories I feel like I didn't do enough, tried to, but didn't do enough of, was, you know, the heroism displayed by the families of our first responders who, in some cases, were losing their own homes. Mm-hmm. And so a husband or a wife goes off to work to saving lives and saving property, and the spouse stays home with the kids, figures out a new place to live, and, you know, does all of that stuff. And so I'm really thrilled to hear that first responder families are involved in your training too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the spouses of first responders. I mean, I just got to give a shout out to the wives of first responders because
and husbands.
You know, it's a very difficult job when we're gone so long, and they have to, you know, they're almost
worried
a single
about
parent.
Your well-being, all of that.
Obviously, while worrying about your husband or wife, so that's a special person that takes that on and does that well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that's why we have a family component. We want to inform them and give them the tools and the education too. So just, we want to keep families together.
So is spreading the word about what you're trying to do. I know what your big goal is, but t- tell our listeners what it is.
Well, ultimately, we want to do, I mean, it sounds, at least locally, our intention is to build a resiliency center for first responders, which is a wellness center where first responders can go, other folks, it's sort of an inclusive environment where they can get the physical, emotional, psychological, neurological support that they need. We'll have components where they can do a release of physical discharge of the energy, like the defibrillators, when we would charge those up, and you would have to not, if you didn't shock the patient, you have to discharge that energy or it kills the machine. Same with the human body. When you fill it with energy, you've got to discharge that energy. Yeah. So we give them a place where they can do that. We're going to have trauma therapists there so that they don't have to worry about calling someone and waiting a week from Friday to see somebody that may or may not know what you do for a living. So we're going to have therapists and physical abilities and meditation and massage and all the things that we can use to help them discharge that, that's get great. Back to their plumb line, a place where they feel like, we call it homeostasis. And then
I like plumb line.
I like plumb
yeah,
line.
Yeah, plumb line is cool.
Yeah, and then what we do is not only do we help them ultimately have a great career, but to also thrive in their personal lives. When they go home to their spouses, significant others, and children, they're not carrying the burden and frustration and energy of maybe having been exposed to a fatal accident or a shooting or anything else that just stores in their bodies, and then they have to go home and pretend to be normal.
Right. Yeah, that's, nobody wants that acting gig.
Yeah, so if we can get a center built, ultimately, I think what the cool thing about it is that Senator Mike McGuire has been very supportive of us, and right away is looking at talking about having a pilot program for California, and we know once we can get to California, we can hit the nation where we can start helping first responders across the nation.
It's all fantastic. I completely believe in it. I completely support you, and you know I will continue to support whatever you do. The next way we can do that is to get involved in this benefit dinner on December 1st, and whether you want to sponsor a table, which would be great, you want to throw in a fantastic auction prize, whatever you want to do, And tickets also. Tickets are available at the website.
www.resiliencyfirst1st.
Right. resiliencyfirst1st.com. Susan and Ron, so great to see you.
Thanks again,
Ron. And I'll be seeing you soon. And keep us posted because I know that our listeners are very interested in this too.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Pat.
Good to see you.